They were looking at me funny when I started singing that song. Musician didn't know what I was doing. But by the time we got finished calling Jesus enough, everybody was able to say Jesus is his name. Hands lifted. I'm here to tell you there's power in the name of Jesus. It's not in vocal ability. The power is in the name of Jesus. I'm a witness. He's able. Listen, there's a word I got to lift for you today. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 through 10. I want to come back through this territory again. Matthew 22, verse 1 through 10. You ought to remember that it says Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." I want to talk again about make time for God's invitations. Make time for God's invitations. What a marvelous story. The king's son is to be married. Banquet food has been prepared. The A-list of guests have been invited. Unfortunately, they did not see the wisdom of responding to the king's invitation. Thank God, the B list, plan B, the second group, had more sense than the first group. They came and dined at the king's table. One of the questions you ought to be raising yourself as we press through the sermon is, which group are you in? Are you in the A group? You've been invited, but you're too busy to come. Or are you in the B group? Perhaps wasn't on the first list, but thank God you had enough sense to come when called. I'm pushing today the thesis that we should obey God's invitations. We should obey God's invitations. So I want to take a minute on God's invitation. Look again at the text. The king has prepared a marvelous meal. And as I look at this text with my preaching imagination, right next to the ox and fattened cattle, I see some fried chicken and some collard greens. Don't y'all see the yams? The macaroni and cheese? The text said everything is ready. So even though I don't see it, I think I can smell some sweet potato pie in the back and some nana pudding. He got the table is spread. He has invited those who should be glad to come. And I came by to tell you that the Lord, as the King in our text, is inviting you and me to the table. Some today, he's inviting to be saved. I want to remind you that everybody in the room was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Even those who've been in church all of their life has sin in their life. It does not matter who you slept with on last night. Those who slept with nobody have sin in their life. Whether you have a felony in your background or not is irrelevant. We were all born in sin. Whether you have a substance abuse problem or not is irrelevant. We were all born into sin. And we have all sinned. Not only were we born messed up, but then we have behaved sinfully since we've been born. But I got good news for you. You are being invited to the table of salvation. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. You could never buy tickets to this banquet. The price is too high. But we got some complimentary tickets paid for by the blood of Jesus. The invitation is extended for you to come and to get yourself saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's good news. But then I am aware that many here claim to already be saved. And so you feel as if there's no invitation extended to you, that this is a salvation sermon. But on the contrary, I told you we ought to make time for God's invitations, plural. That not only is the invitation extended for people to get saved, but there is an invitation extended for you and me to grow in our discipleship. You do know that God wants to be Lord of all of our life. He does not want to just be Lord of 2 to 4 hours on Sunday, but he wants to be Lord on Monday and Tuesday. He doesn't want to just be the boss of our churchmanship, but he wants rulership even of our finances. And I got news for you. He doesn't want to just be Lord over the 10% we owe him, but he has principles for the 90% that he allows us to take care of. Principles like earn high, spend low, learn how to invest. Understand that you are not your stuff. He wants to be Lord of your finances. The invitation is extended for you and me to yield to his lordship of even our health. For you realize that these bodies we walk around in do not belong to us. They too have been purchased with a price. Therefore, it is our Christian duty to not only pray, but to work on eating right, to not only sing in worship, but to work on exercising our bodies, to not only write our tithe check for Sunday, but to take our bodies to the doctors on some kind of routine. I didn't expect too many amens in this section of the sermon, but he's inviting us to be Lord. He's inviting us to submit to his lordship in every area of our life, not just how we act on Sunday, but also how we act on Monday with our family. Don't be guilty coming to church on Sunday, acting like the holiest thing on planet Earth, and then go home on Monday and be the biggest demon on Earth. The Lord is inviting you and me to submit to His Lordship Monday through Monday, which includes how we behave with our family, our loved ones, on our job, in our community. The invitation is extended to grow up even in our churchmanship. Somebody's being invited to move up beyond being a pew member now to letting the Lord do a mighty work in and through your life. Before I move along, I ought to tell you that the invitation is oftentimes extended through the servants of God. Look again at the text. The king does not walk down the street knocking on the door, inviting people to his son's banquet. That's not what the king does in the text. The king sends his servants to knock on the door, to extend the invitation, to let the people know that the table has been spread, the feast is about to start. And you and I ought to be conscious of the fact that God rarely speaks from heaven and say, hey, you, yeah, you right there, come on over here. That's normally not how God operates. God chooses servants to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands, to be his feet. And the question becomes then, are you spiritually sensitive enough to hear what God says through his servant, whoever they may be? The invitation is being extended. I move now to this matter of priorities. Are y'all still with me? In the text, the invitation was extended, but those on the A-list, do y'all know what I mean when I say the A-list? The group that was on the first group of people, the first group of people invited to the banquet, as opposed to the second group of people. The people on the A-list had skewed priorities. They had messed up priorities. They thought that taking care of their field, taking care of their business, a parallel text says taking care of their oxes, taking care of just getting married, they thought these things were more important than coming when called by the king. Does this describe you? If we pass the mic around, nobody would volunteer and say, yes, that's me, Reverend. My priorities are messed up. I put my job in front of God. I put my wife in front of God. I put my husband in front of God. Wouldn't nobody raise their hand and say, that's me, Reverend. My priorities are all messed up. But I say to you, that just as surely as we tell the tree by the fruit and not the sign, your priorities are displayed by what you do and not what you say. I don't care what kind of sign is on the tree. The sign may say lemon tree, but if there's apples on every branch of that tree, you ought to have enough sense to know that that's not a lemon tree, that's an apple tree, because the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. So you can sit up here and talk about your priorities are not messed up if you want to, but when we look at the fruit of your life, your behavior speaks louder than your word. Now, ain't no need in you sitting up there getting mad with the preacher. Come on, just walk with me a little bit. It's hope for you. It's hope. Whatever your priorities were when you came in, you got time to change them. Don't turn the channel already. Stay with me here. I haven't preached in a while. I need you to walk with me for a minute. Their priorities were messed up. And if you're not careful, you and I will have messed up priorities. We will allow our appreciation of reason and the things of this world to be more important to us than faith in God. I am one of the first to admit that God does not always make sense to me. There's a whole lot of stuff that God allows to happen that if I was God, with all that power and all that knowledge, I don't think I would allow it to happen. But you ought to be thankful. I'm not God. What I've learned, however, is to learn how to trust that God knows what is best, when is best, how it is best. And so even though it does not make sense, I'm learning how to trust Him. There are other people whose priorities are messed up with trying to be impressive instead of being impactful. I don't want to be cute. I want to make sure you hear what I'm just saying here. There are some people who are really into glitz and glamour and style. The most important thing in their life is to look like something. There are other people who invest their life in making sure that when the last day of breath has been breathed, something can be said about what have you done with your life. They made an impact. And I pray to God that when I breathe my last, people will have more to say than he sung a lot. He hollered at the end of his sermon. He had a loud voice. We want to make an impact. You got to make your priorities such and then live by your priorities. The people of the text had messed up priorities. And I say to you, you ought to be honest enough with yourself, even if you don't want to confess it to others, you ought to at least be honest enough with yourself and ask yourself, do you have enough evidence in your life to support your claim that God is number one in your life? If we were to go to court and you had to argue your case, can you present enough admissible evidence to support your claim that you are responding to the invitation? I press on now to talk about God's responses. Are y'all still with me? I talked about his invitation and our priorities. You really ought to pay attention to this part of the sermon. I'm talking about God's responses now. Because when the king saw people snub his invitation, pay no attention to his invitation, people mistreated the messenger and servants of the king, what is the king and by extension God's response to such poor priorities? God sent his army to kill the murderers, burn down their city. In other words, God will punish sin. You remember Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, don't you? That text says, whom God loveth, he chasteneth. He scourges every one. I believe I told y'all this before, but in the home of my upbringing, it would not be strange for me to get involved in some mischief. And when I got involved in enough mischief, my mama would whoop me. Height is not one of my mother's strongest suits, but she would whoop me as best she could. If I had messed up a little bit, I would get whooped with the belt. If I messed up a little bit more, I would get whipped with the extension cord. But I could handle her whoopings. Didn't like them, but I could handle them. But every now and then, I would mess up so bad. Until mama didn't get the belt, mama didn't get the extension cord. She just looked at me and said, I'm going to tell your daddy. Right. Yeah. And when she said, daddy, tears began to stream down my face. She hadn't even told Daddy yet. Daddy was still at work, didn't have no idea what had happened. But just the fact she was thinking about telling Daddy what I had did caused tears to come streaming down my face. Because no matter what Mama did, when Daddy got a hold of you, it just seemed to always feel worse. Daddy was bigger than Mama. He was stronger than Mama. Now, Daddy never whipped me with an extension cord. He half killed me with the belt. I'm glad he never got the extension cord. I may not be your pastor if he got the extension cord. Mama would whip me. It seemed, however, like Daddy would half kill me. When that text says, whom God loveth, he chasteneth. Chasteneth in my mind is like when Mama whipped me. But Hebrews 12:6 says, whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and then he scourges everyone. That's a notch higher than chastising. That scourging sound like when Daddy have killed me. But all Mama and Daddy and the Lord, all of the discipline centers around this matter of love. Children, I went all around that bush to tell you that if your priorities are messed up, if you don't get yourself together, the Lord is able and willing to send punishment into your life. Now, come on. I want you to just think about how challenging your life already is. Think about how many times your heart has already been broken. Think about how high your bills are already. Think about how painful your arthritis has already become. Think about how much mistreatment you've already experienced. Don't you have enough sense to see you don't need the Lord to chastise you? Can't you see you don't need the Lord to scourge you? Your life and mine are already challenging enough. We don't want the Lord to discipline us. But I'm thankful there is another response in the text. The Lord responds to poor priorities with punishment. But to those who come when called, to those who say, yes, Lord, to those who come to the table, the Lord has grace and mercy. Now, here is where somebody ought to get excited. That no matter how jacked up your life may have been, if you can just say, yes, Lord, there's room for you at the table. Look again at verse 10. The Bible says, so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. Now, this is the part I like, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. The reason I really like verse 10 is because I really don't know which category I fit in with the Lord. The Bible said that the good and the bad. The reason I'm happy about that is that no matter how bad you think you are, you're still invited to the table. And no matter how good you think you are, you ought to come to the table. And God, all right, no matter how you feel this morning. You are still invited to the Lord's table. Isn't that good news here? I close when I tell you, find yourself in the sermon. Look at the sermon and look at yourself and find yourself in the word today. If you have poor priorities, if you are guilty of putting God on the back burner of your life, then please come to the Lord while you still have time. If you could be honest enough and say, hey, Reverend, that's me in that text. The Lord invited me, but I kept saying no. The Lord had a call on my life, but I wanted to do my own thing, and I kept telling him no. But I'm ready this morning to tell the Lord yes. I got good news, children. If you're still alive and you hear the preacher this morning, you still have time to tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry for all I've done wrong. Please have mercy on me. You ought to come on in while you still have time. And if by chance you're sitting here looking at the text and looking at yourself, and you have concluded you're not in the A list, but you're on the B list, you ought to tell the Lord, thank you for letting me be on any list. Did you hear me? You know, there are some people that if they're not on the A list, they are so insulted that they won't even come to the event. But listen, children, when you think about how holy God is and how sinful you and I are, we ought to tell the Lord, thank you for letting us be on any list. I close when I tell you a little story from one of my preaching role models. Y'all don't know him, but his name was Dr. Morris Smith. He used to be the pastor of Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. This is Bishop Victor Cousins' pastor. Dr. Smith was from Alabama. And you would have to hear him preach to appreciate his southern drawl in his preaching. He was born and raised on the farms of Alabama. So when he got happy and reached for an illustration, he would reach back to his agrarian upbringing. He would reach back to a farm illustration. And I remember him preaching on occasion, and he said that he was so glad that the Lord called him to be a preacher, because God could have chosen anybody or chosen anything to preach for him. And then Smith said, God could have called a mule and the mule would have been happy to kick out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if God did not call a mule, then God could have called a rooster, and the rooster would have been happy to cackle out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the rooster would not have cackled, then the dog would have been happy to bark out, the wages of sin is death. And the cat would have meowed, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if none of the above wanted to preach, then the cows would have moved out the gospel of our Lord. All I'm trying to tell you is that when we look at all of the options that God had, and then think about how he put our name on the list, you ought to get that, children. He did not send down a flyer and say, you are cordially invited. He did not send down a form letter, but he called us by name. I'm glad that my name is on the list. I'm glad that my name is on the list. I know it's not my goodness. I know it wasn't my kindness. I know it's not the bars on my arm that got my name on the list. Can I tell you, as I take my seat, how my name got on the list? Jesus hooked me up. Jesus hooked a brother up. Jesus paid it all for me. The hymn writer said, I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, Jesus, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. Anybody here got your name on the list? Don't fool me now. I said, anybody here got your name on the list? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it marvelous to know that you know that you know that you know that my name is on the list? There's a whole lot of folk that don't know my name, but the reason I got joy is because the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has my name on the list. And can't nobody erase my name. Can't nobody bump my name off the list. My name has been written in the blood. Anybody here excited about your name being on the list? Come on and help me. Just tell somebody, I'm glad that my name is on the list. Praise the Lord. 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 Yeah. 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 I'm glad. I said I'm glad that my name is on the list. But I didn't come to just brag. I came to tell you there's still room on the list. There's still room on the list. And you ought to make time for God's invitations. Because there comes a time when the invitation is no longer extended. And it's too late to say, yes, Lord. We've been praying about this day. If you know that you need to get saved, if you know you need to get right with God, if you know you need to get yourself in church, you ought to make time for God's invitations today. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. My brother, my sister, you ought to step out of now and come on, get your business fixed today. If you know you need to get saved, if you know you need to get right with God, step out of now and come on right now. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. Just come on right now. The invitation is extended. You can come.